Today's Mishnayos are Masechtes Peah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav, and Mishnah Zayin. Today's Mishnayos are being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Reb Arya Tzvi, Ben Reb Chana Hendel, the Kozhag Lava Goyin, Hashen Yimkom Dame. So we're continuing to discuss Halachas and Peah, and our Mishnah, like most Mishnayos do, is going to discuss a very basic, fundamental Halach in the laws of Peah. And that is, how large does a field have to be in order for the owner of the field to have an obligation to leave Peah? And as we're about to see, the answer to this question is not straightforward. In fact, the Mishnah is going to mention several opinions amongst the Tanoim. Zok the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer said, Karka beis roiva chayeves bepeah. A piece of property that, if you wanted to plant it, would require a base roiva. A roiva means a quarter. A quarter of what? A quarter of a kav of seeds. That amount of field would be chayv and peah. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you have a field, and if you wanted to plant the entire field, you would need to have a quarter of a kav of seeds. That field is big enough for it to be chayv and peah. If the field is smaller than that, it's not chayv and peah. Rabbi Shua said it's a different share. Ha'oisa sosayim. A field that's big enough that it produces two saw of seed, that's the type of field that's chayv and peah. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a field that's big enough that if you wanted to plant it, you would need a quarter of a kav of seeds. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's not how much seed you would need in order to plant, but we're looking more in terms of what this field is able to produce. So if it's oisus asayim, if it can produce two sa, then this field is going to be chayiv and peah. Rabbi Tarfon says a much simpler share, shishal shisha tvachim, that in order for a field to be chayiv and peah, it has to be six tvachim long by six tvachim wide. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said the field has to be big enough kidei liktzar for a person to have to go and cut and harvest a fistful, the lishnois, and then harvest another fistful. The Rav says that the reason Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said it in this way, kidei liktzar v'lishnois, it's related to the way farmers used to harvest. But the bottom line is, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, what's this year? As long as there's a big enough piece of land that you can fill up two fistfuls of produce, that would be enough for you to be chayv and peah. The Mishnah says, v'halacha kidvarav, by the way. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Rabbi Kiva is a final shita. He said, karka kolshu chayeves bepeah. That karka, even a kolshu, a tiny bit of property, that's already going to be chayev in peah. So we have five shiurim as it relates to what the shiur of peah is. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's property that if you wanted to plant, you would need a quarter of a kav of seeds. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's a field that produces two saw of produce. According to Rabbi Tarfin, it's six tvachim by six tvachim. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, it's big enough to produce two fistful of tvua. And according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no share. Even a kol shu, that would be enough. Incidentally, notice the Mishnah mentions five shitas, and it's poiches vaholech as far as what this shiurim are. So Rabbi Eliezer is the largest share, then Rabbi Yeshua's, then Rabbi Tarfin, then Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and for sure, Rabbi Akiva, Karka Kolshu, that's the smaller share. The Mishnah is going to end with a digression, and really, the digression is going to continue through the end of the parak. So we just mentioned Rabbi Akiva Shita. Rabbi Akiva says, how big does Karka have to be? How big would a property, a field, have to be in order to be Chayv and Peah? Not big at all. Kolshu, even if it's a tiny bit, that would be enough. Says the Mishnah, that Rabbi Akiva took this Shita, that the definition of Karka is a Kolshu, and he applied it to other areas of halacha as well. Meaning, it's not only negeya, the laws of peya, but it's negeya other halachas as well. So said Rabbi Akiva, karka kolshu is chayeves bepeya, ube bikurim. If a person has a karka that's kolshu, he would be chayev in bikurim. So if someone has karka kolshu and peiros grow, now he's chayev in bikurim. How much karka does he have to have? Again, a karshu. Another halacha, v'lichtoiv alea prusbol. A karka kolshu is big enough in order for one to be able to write a prusbol. So what's a prusbol? The Torah says that on Shemitah, the land has to rest. That everybody knows. But there's really another halacha related to Shemitah, and that is that on Shemitah, if somebody owes somebody else money, Shemitah comes, that loan becomes null and void. A person doesn't have to pay that loan anymore. That's the halacha. Shemitah affects karka. It also affects money. Shemitah that affects karka is known as your classic shemitah, sometimes referred to as shemitas karka. Shemitah that affects money is what's known as shemitas ksofen. So again, the halacha is if somebody owes somebody else money and then shemitah comes, he doesn't have to pay the loan anymore. Now, what happened was, historically, there was a time where people didn't want to lend money anymore because people said, I'm going to lend you money and then it's going to come shemitah. I'm not going to be able to collect the loan anymore. I'm never going to get paid on monies that are owed to me. So Hillel, who was one of the great Jewish leaders, he instituted a takana. His takana was, you should write a prosbul. A prosbul is a legal document that basically it circumvents the halachas of Shemitas Ksafim. It allows a lender, a malva, to be able to go and collect money even after Shemitah. Now there's a halacha in the laws of prosbul that says that the only time you can write a prosbul is if the loiva, the borrower, owns karka. But if the loiva doesn't own any karka, you're not able to write a prosbul. The question is, how much karka does he have to own? Says Rabbi Akiva. You want to know how much karka he has to own? A kolshu. That's another example of a kolshu. Finally, another place Rabbi Akiva said this halacha of karka kolshu. If somebody wants to acquire a possession, he has to make a kinyan. Now, kinyanim vary depending on what a person is trying to acquire. For our Mishnah, what we have to know is that the way somebody is kinyan karka, the way somebody acquires karka, is different from the way somebody is kinyan metaltlin, the way he's kinyan metaltlin. Also, karka is niknes bekesef b'shtar v'chazaka. There's a kinyan called kinyan kesef, kinyan shtar, kinyan chazaka. Those are the three ways that a person can be kinyan karka. Metaltlin, which is a movable object, that you can't be kinyan with kesef, shtar, and chazaka. Stating that, the halacha is that let's say somebody wants to be kinyan karka and metaltlin. So he could be kinyan the karka. The person could acquire the karka using the traditional methods of being kinyan karka, kesef, shtar, and chazaka, and then through a kinyan known as kinyan agav, he could also be kinyan of the metaltlin together with it. So a person, if he wants to be kinyan of metaltlin, but he doesn't want to do it in the regular way to be kinyan of metaltlin, rather he wants to do it bekesef, shtar, v'chazaka, which are the ways to be kinyan of karka, he could do it. How? Be kinyan of a little bit of karka, and once you kinyan of a little karka, through kinyan agav, you'll be able to be kinyan of metaltlin as well. The question is, how much karka does a person have to acquire in order for it to trigger a kinyan agav? That's what the Mishnah says. For that, a karka of a kolshu is going to be enough. So just to recap this Mishnah, the Mishnah was really a tale of two stories. There was a reisha in the Mishnah, the seif in the Mishnah. The reisha in the Mishnah was a five-way machloikis tanoim, how large a field has to be in order to be chayav bepeya. Rabbi Eliezer said, it has to be of the size that it would require a quarter of a kav of seeds in order to plant it. According to Rabbi Yeshua, big enough that it can produce two saw of tefua. According to Rabbi Tarfin, six tefachim by six tefachim. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, enough that you can reap, you can harvest two fistfuls of tefua. Rabbi Akiva said a kolshu. The second part of the Mishnah was other places where Rabbi Akiva said the same halacha that a karka has to be a kolshu. Number one, our Mishnah, the topic of the day, which is peya. Number two, bikurim. Number three, a prusbal. The loiva has to own karka, how much a kolshu? And finally, for kinyan agav, if somebody wants to be kinyan metaltlin with kinyan agav through karka, you have to be kinyan how much karka? A kolshu would be enough. Mishnah Zayin. So Mishnah Zayin is a continuation of the Sefer of Mishnah Vav, which is going to discuss another area in halacha where karka kolshu is the amount of karka that one would need. So the Mishnah is discussing the halacha of a shchiv meira. A shchiv meira is somebody that's lying on his deathbed. He's about to die. He has his family gathered around him, and he starts giving final instructions. Chazal made tremendous kulois for a shchiv meira. One of the kulois they said are in the laws of Chayshim Mishpat. Ordinarily, if a person wants to be makna something to somebody else, somebody wants to gift something to somebody else, so there's a whole process of how you do it. You need to make a kinyan, etc. However, when it comes to a shchiv meira, Chazal said that divrei shchiv meira is kichsuvim v'chemsurim dami. Just the words uttered by a shchiv meira is tantamount to actually making a kinyan. So if the shchiv meira instructs something to happen, it has the koyach and the effect of what a kinyan would ordinarily do. So it says in the Mishnah, koysev nechasev shchiv meira, if there was a person that was a shchiv meira, and he sat down and he wrote over a gift, and he said that he wants the gift his properties to some people. Talach is sheer karka kolshu. If he left over a little bit of karka, matnasay matana. The matana that he gifted is considered a matana. And here's the chiddush: even if later he has a refuah shalema, later he gets better, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, he gave it away, even though he was a shchiv mera. The bottom line is, whatever he gave away, he gave away. Lo yishir karka kolshu. However, if he didn't leave over any karka for himself, meaning he gave everything away, a matnasay matana. Then we say his matana is not a matana. What's the point? If a person gives everything away while he's a shchiv mera, so we assume that the reason he's giving it away is because he thinks he's dying. So therefore, there's a svara to say that if later he gets better, the halacha is that he's going to be able to take everything back. Because there's an umdana demuchach. It's as if he literally stated that the only reason he's giving everything away is because he thinks he's going to die. However, the moment he leaves something back for himself, he doesn't give everything away. He gives most of it away, or some of it away. But if he leaves something back, so then it's clear that he's not so sure he's dying. And because he's not so sure he's dying, so it's for that reason, the halacha is ein matnase matana. Whatever he gave, we assume he really meant to give. He wasn't only giving it because he's dying, because he's a shchiv. And therefore, if he gets better, the halach is he's not able to back out. So again, how much karka would a person have to leave over in order for us to say that even though he's a shchiv mera, and that's when he gave away his nechasim, but still matnase matana, it's a kolshu. So it's another example of where you have this halacha of sheer karka kolshu. Next halacha, koisim nechasim levanov, if somebody gave over all his nechasim to his sons. Again, we're dealing with a shchiv mera, a person that's dying, and his family is gathered around him. So he gives over all his possessions to his sons, v'kasav le'ishtei karka kolshu. And then he told his wife, I want to give you a little bit of karka. Ibda ksubasa, the halacha is, she loses her ksuba. So we know that every married man has a ksuba obligation towards his wife. What does that mean? It's financial obligations, the certain things that he needs to do financially to make sure that he takes care of his wife. Now, the ksuba fine obligations, part of them are negea while they're married, meaning during the course of the marriage, the husband has a responsibility to take care of his wife. Part of it is after he dies. After the husband dies, the halacha is that the wife, even though really she doesn't yarshin her husband, but based on the laws of ksuba, she's entitled to get certain things. So says the Mishnah that if a man gave her all over all his nechasim to his children, and then he gave his wife a little bit of karka, and she accepted it, ibda ksubasa. We assume that by her taking the little bit of karka, she's saying that I'm willing to take karka, I don't need anything else. She's meichel her ksuba, it's a very big chiddush, she doesn't get her ksuba anymore. Rabbi Yossi said even a bigger chiddush, kibla aleh, if she agreed to be together with the children of her husband, to yarshin, even if he never wrote anything over to her, ibduk subasa, even that's enough for her to lose a ksuba. So according to Rabbi Yossi, we don't need that the husband actually gave her anything, but that in and of itself, that she's agreeable to an arrangement, even if she never gets anything, that already is enough for her to lose a ksuba. But the bottom line is, how much karka does she have to receive? Says the Mishnah, if a man gives over all his nechasim to his sons, and even one karka of kolshu is what he gives the wife, that's enough for her to lose a ksuva. In other words, Mishnah Zayin just mentioned two additional examples where you have halacha of karka kolshu. Mishnah Vav mentioned peya, a field that's one karka is enough for peya. It's enough for bikurim, it's enough for a prosbul, it's enough for kinyanagav. Our Mishnah mentioned laws of a shchiv mera. A shchiv mera that writes all his nechasim away, he leaves over a karka, even a kolshu, that's enough for the matana to be a matana. Additionally, if somebody would give over all his money to his children and he gives his wife a karka kolshu, it's considered mechila, and the halacha is now she would lose her ksuba.